Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
Today we're talking about Mighty Joe Young.
1998.
Right. Archeo Pictures, Disney Pictures.
Yeah, I was like, I forgot the newish RKO logo was like kind of weird to see.
Was it just for show?
Like in color and stuff. That's what I was wondering, if it was just like kind of like in tribute.
I think so. So this is a loose remake of the last one. I don't remember the date on the last one, 1949 or 19 something like that. Is that too early? I meant to jot it down, and I didn't.
I don't know. I know I'm the year guy on our little thing. I dropped.
I blindsided you on that one.
But 1949. That's correct.
Oh wow! So some stuff is sticking in my brain.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's very, very loosely based on that. There's a Jill Young and a Joe Young, and a giant ape.
Yes.
And I think that's where it stops. The orphanage has been replaced by a Ferris wheel.
Right.
You said you'd seen this movie and you said it was bad. Or not good, or not the greatest.
I mean, it's not great. It's like, it's kind of for kids. I wouldn't say it's, when I saw it, I wouldn't say I didn't like it, just because I'm a very easy sell when it comes to a big gorilla movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it before, and I think it's bad.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of things to like about it.
You know, well, the Disney logo comes up at the beginning, because I had forgotten this was a Disney movie.
I didn't know it at all. And that's how I found it.
I was like, oh, Disney. And when you come into it going, this is a Disney movie, and you start kind of like grouping it with other Disney movies that were live action, like all those ridiculous Disney movies from the 80s and stuff that or even before that used to play on TV and all that stuff. I go like, all right, because it's pretty kind of, a lot of it is light fluff,
right,
kind of stuff. It doesn't get too
it's kind of too cliche,
deep in any direction. Yeah. And yeah, it's very on the nose in a lot of parts,
I guess. I didn't even,
but a guy does get his thumb and forefinger bitten off.
And he says it bit off my thumb and trigger finger.
Oh, by the way, so this movie is directed by Ron Underwood.
Yes, I looked him up.
Who directed Tremors,
which I haven't seen.
And it's something that we've been kind of tossing back and forth as a possibility for this show.
Right.
He's also directed multiple episodes of Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, okay.
Including this one.
Oh, no.
Where it was a Halloween episode.
Okay.
And I have this gag where I pretend I got my finger cut off when we're carving pumpkins.
Oh no, okay.
And the scene, one of the people in the scene is the kid who plays Scott Kahn's kid in it.
Okay.
And he wasn't ready for me getting my finger lopped off gag with the blood coming out of it. It got kind of intense for him, and it got real, started getting real, you know, just like trying to get through the scene, knowing this kid is a little traumatized. And
right.
And there's at one point when they just kind of had the kid there and he's not even looking, and he just kind of like almost like crying to himself. And they just need me to do my lines as if I'm talking to him and he's responding to me, just to kind of get through it.
Oh man.
Man. But there's a certain thing, like there's certain scenes that you bond with the director where they're going, all right, how do we get through this? How do we finish the day and stuff? And that was, so like in a way, Ron Underwood and I always will have that episode.
What's funny is I didn't, I mean, I found it on Disney Plus and it says Disney at the beginning. I didn't even think of it as a kid's movie. I'm sure if in my brain I'd thought of it as a kid's movie, I'd be into it a little bit more. But I don't, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went in a little bit more with that mindset.
Yeah.
And you definitely get more forgiving about it.
Yeah, I guess I could see that happening because some of the stuff felt on the nose. Some of the stuff, like the beginning where, like, Jill's mom is, like, singing to her and stuff and, you know that there's poachers out in the jungle. I'm like, oh, her mom's going to die. like I knew right away, like, oh, this is what's going to happen. Yeah.
It's definitely, the double orphaning.
So what cracked me up, I don't know if you mentioned this on the last show or if you just brought it up. I think you might have mentioned it on the last episode. You said that there's a cute part in it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is he talking about the baby Joe?
No.
Oh. Because the baby Joe immediately, like, is in peril.
By the way, baby Joe, played by Vern Troyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I was going to say it. Yeah. I'm like, it was like either a really good puppet or something.
Yeah, it was like these gorillas are very, I was like going, oh, these are like the Congo gorillas. You know, they're that kind of costume animatronic thing.
Yeah. I think my only issue with the gorillas is like the voices sometimes, like especially with the baby Joe. Like it sounded like a voice actor doing it.
Yeah, it sounded like a human. Yeah,
totally. And so it's like, oh man, if they got the voice right, it would have sold it a lot better because it looked really good. But then like kind of a human voice came out.
Things that like remember, like the things that stuck in my mind when I sounded originally that I was like, I know these parts happen, was like that jingly keys thing.
Uh-huh.
And how they use it to rile them up later and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, it was a cool, because the sound it makes, and it creates this. Even I think it kind of creates a visceral thing in you too when you hear that jingle.
Yeah,
because you know it's bad news, and then kind of the same thing how when Joe hears it kind of messes him up.
I think that was some of the best stuff in the movie because it was one of those things where it's like, okay, Joe can't really talk. And he knows that the bad guys are there and there's no way for him to communicate that.
Right.
So it kind of added a lot of drama.
Yeah.
They sort of figured that out a little bit easy
later. Suspense.
Yeah. But,
this opening is very sad. I wrote it this sad. This is a sad opening, like the Tarzan cartoon.
Which I haven't seen.
You haven't seen the Disney Tarzan?
Oh, yeah. That one. Got it. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, this is that. Yeah. It's the same kind of thing. It's the double orphaning opening where both the humans and the gorilla, you know, the
that, and this came out the same time.
Only it's the opposite. I guess it's the mom that loses her kid in the Tarzan, as far as the gorilla goes. But yeah,
I'm gonna look something up real quick.
Tarzan a year later.
It came out a year later.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they're in production. They totally... They're in production at the same time.
I like that. You know, the fact that he says he took off my thumb and trigger finger. I like that he says trigger finger. I like how it said. It's like that. It says, "Yeah, take that."
Almost like a statement.
Yeah. Right.
Like it was like he bit his, like Joe was already smart, and did it and bit him with purpose.
Yeah.
This opening reminded me of the flashbacks from Rampage.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But I think Rampage was a little more fun. I feel like Rampage is going to age as well as this movie. I feel it's like it's going to feel dated or something.
Yeah, maybe. It's interesting. It's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
The part that sticks, like Rampage, the thing that still sticks with me, Rampage, is when I don't know what's the name of that big white gorilla,
George.
I forget it. When George, when he starts, like when the way he talks to The Rock, and he's like, you know, being like, "Ah, oh, you got scared, haha, you got scared. I saved you."
Oh yeah, with the sign language.
And he's like, "No, you didn't save me. I was fine." And he's like, "No, I saved you." That relationship I liked a lot.
And there's another thing in this movie. There's a scene where Joe has the what's his name cornered. I want to say Ira and Barry from City Slickers. Yeah. I can't think of his name. David, is it David Paymer? Is that his name? No. But the actor? What's that actor's name? I just know him from City Slickers. He's been in a million things. Character actor. Like the chairman
David
of the
Paymer.
Yeah. Where he's getting, you know, cornered by Joe, but he's just playing hide and seek.
Right. She says, jump out. Say, yeah, you got it. I mean, okay, so the cutest part, like the part that I think is really cute is Joe hiding the first time.
Okay.
Where he's in plain sight, but he just has his face covered.
Got it.
Because
I thought you meant like.
Thought it was adorable.
The baby Joe Young, but he's like immediately just being hunted.
No. It's the big one. Yeah, it's just the big one, but he still acts like a little baby in some aspects.
I think the effects are pretty good in this movie for the most part.
I think they're great. I think all the compositing of the the Joe when he's in moving and all that stuff, and the way they composite into the real world, and there's definitely a little bit in the later stuff when he's in the city street.
Right.
Where it's a little more forced, where you're going to go like, I don't quite get how the gorilla does this type of damage to this car exactly. But I thought it was really good. The way they shot both and the way they lit both and were able to put them together really well was pretty seamless.
Yeah.
There were three full size Joes made for this movie. They were Joe where he's like on all fours.
Okay.
Joe seated and Joe in what they refer to as dead position.
Yeah. There was one shot with Charlize Theron like overlooking the jungle or something. And she's like, she's like touching Joe's arm and stuff. And I'm like, that can't be CG completely because she's really touching it. So it was probably they did the puppet Joe and maybe did some CG overlay for his movement. But it felt like she was really grabbing his arm. And
I think the three full size Joes had animatronic faces or heads. Yeah. Maybe not the dead one. I don't know. Oh, no, the dead one moves. The dead one, I think, moves at the end.
Yeah,
when he gets up again,
he's not dead,
right?
I noticed two actors that appeared in Lost.
Holy crap, Naveen!
Yeah,
I forgot. I didn't know he was in. I didn't know who he was back when I saw it.
Yeah,
and Naveen shows up. By the way, this is shot at Cool Little Ranch.
Okay,
which is on Oahu.
Right.
It's a
like
very
Jurassic Park and
It's the classic
Godzilla
place.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Lost, there was like, when we drove the van through it, when we first got the van started, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So one, it was that. I was like, oh, Cool Little Ranch, and seeing Naveen there. And then there's like the shaking of the trees.
Right.
And I was just kind of like thinking about how, okay, so this happened before Lost. So it should have been like during Lost, you'd be like, hey, have you ever seen something like that? He's like, once.
And then I noticed Marguerite Moreau in the as cabriolet
in the
girl.
Car. Yeah, right. She's one of the cabriolet girls.
Yeah. So I thought, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, yeah. I have a note here, and maybe you noticed this too. I said that Charlize Theron always walks with purpose.
Okay. I didn't notice that, but I my note was, is that how she eats an orange?
Was it an orange?
It appears, it looked like an orange. Well, when she takes a bite into it, it looks like an orange. And then on the other side, it looks like it's half, maybe an orange that's halfway eaten, but as if it was eaten like an apple.
Right.
Like, I didn't know if they were trying to make an orange look more exotic than it was.
I thought it. So when I saw her holding it, it looked like it was fake. Or it looked like there was something wrong with the editing. because it was like it was a perfectly round thing, and then when they cut to the other side, it was like half eaten, and I'm like, wait, how did she eat that? And then she took another bite out of that same side. I'm like, oh, she's eating like, I don't know. I couldn't figure it out either. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, like she's just sucking on the orange, but it looked like she took the first bite from the one end.
I'm going to have to do a study on it and post like an Instagram video to see if people can figure out what's happening.
It came out like I think it's listed in IMDb as one of the goofs that she starts eating a fruit, and when it cuts to the other side, it's already halfway eaten.
Maybe she has perfect teeth or big bites, because it looked like it was cut in half. Or wait, no, it looked like a big ass bite. I don't know. I watched it a couple days ago, but I remember it being weird.
So they refer to Joe as a 2,000-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
So then I had to kind of look it up, because like I remember there was, you know, there's a classic old joke about like where does an 800-pound gorilla sit?
Uh huh.
You remember? You know that joke?
I don't know. Is it his ass?
No.
Oh.
No, it's like a joke that's as old as like, why did the chicken cross the road? Oh. It's like, where does an 800-pound gorilla sit? And the answer is anywhere he wants to.
Okay. I like mine better.
Yeah, no, it is better. I joke is older that the sensibility for it was the audience for it wasn't quite ready for his ass.
Yeah.
However, so then I was like, because to me, I was like, well, wait a minute. If a gorilla is 800 pounds, 2,000 pounds doesn't seem like that much bigger. And Joe is considerably bigger. Right. So then I looked it up, and turns out gorillas actually tend to be about 330 pounds.
Got it.
Around 300 pounds. So I guess a 2,000 pound is pretty big.
Yeah. And you know,
and there's no such thing as an 800 pound gorilla.
And if you were to see, a 2,000 pound gorilla, you would get a dolly counter zoom. Because there's like four or five of them,
right?
Like, yeah,
and then the hide and seek thing, and they go, good thing Joe didn't want to play doctor. And I was like, come on, you're in a Disney movie, what are you saying?
That seems like a Bill Paxton line that he just made up on the set,
threw in himself.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. I mean, I guess it does. He is playing a game, but I think it's kind of funny. That's one of those jokes for the adults who took their kids to see it. So the fingerless hand.
Yeah.
Was kind of hilarious.
That was cool. That looked good.
Oh yeah. There was the far shot where you could kind of tell it wasn't a real hand, but,
The one where you're just seeing like the skin and you're trying to see where the finger ended, and you know, because like there's like it's a smooth thing, like it kind of it was a good bite, like it was clean, like it took it off,
yeah,
like a full thing. I think the glove system looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
it adds good menace to that guy.
Mm-hmm. There's a scene at the party.
Yes.
Where they cut away.
Yeah.
To a couple.
Yes.
Presumably married.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? Ray Harryhausen and Terry Moore.
Right. It was like, well, it was great because we were watching it. Becky was watching it with me. And and she was like, what was that? Because it is so, it's awkward. A very shoehorned in moment.
Right.
And she's like, what is that about? And I was like, well, that's Terry Moore and Ray Harryhausen. So it's a forced cameo.
I feel like it's weird because does Ray Harryhausen get more lines than Terry Moore?
It's the same. Okay. The same amount.
I guess so.
She reminds me of somebody. And he says, you, when we first met.
the rampage scene in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Every time they would cut to somebody in a car or someone getting out of a car or someone looking at Joe. It felt like it was supposed to be a cameo, and I don't know if it was or not, but it was shot in a way where I felt like those people were a little more than just like kind of like they felt featured.
Yeah. I hear you.
It was a weird vibe. I didn't.
Yeah. For me, it just felt like every car, every person on the street moment, every reaction that was on the street for me just felt like this was a time capsule of what Disney understood was the current way people talk and things going on in the world. Cause it felt like, okay, so there's the African American guy,
right,
who's staring at Maya Jo Young.
Got it.
And he says, "Oh my God." And he says, "Fat."
That's right.
It's so your grandpa's type of hip speak kind of thing. That there's a lot of things like that just kind of felt like because this was going on right now in the world, you know, where or, you know, it's like, or like when they carjack the guy and he's like, this is like the sixth time this happened to me this month or whatever, he has that line that he like, apparently that guy gets carjacked a lot.
I feel like even the car alarm going off and Joe destroying the car until it stops,
very much
it's like
very
a total commentary, because I remember like in high school roughly around this time, like that was a big deal, annoying car alarms. The one that did like
that one that does a whole bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
And you know, that's interesting. The whole thought of that car alarm, because it was like a thing where car alarms were starting to get ignored.
Right.
I think. Because like they were doing stuff on TV like, here, look, this car alarm. Now look, and no one does anything about it because they're just noise makers now. And so I think that's why they devised the other car alarm that'll make a bunch of different noises to get people's attention. And now that's become the most annoying one.
Yeah.
So the guy in the car who's like, come on. He's like, you've never seen an accident before. And then Joe like runs over top of him and the guy really freaks out.
Yes.
He screams. And then Joe looks through his back window. He looks at the guy and shakes his head and moves on.
Oh, yeah. Like he's, yeah.
Yeah. Joe calling him a pussy or something. Yeah. It's like, Jesus.
It's so weird. It's such a weird movie. But yeah, like later on, Richard Reel shows up. And I know that guy. Reel? Is it Reel or Ryle? Reel, Richard?
I don't know. I before eat usually is pronounced real as far as if it's based on German. Yeah.
So when he showed up, I'm like, okay, so maybe all those other people in the other cars were, I should have.
Somebody?
Yeah. But no, not really. And I think the Marguerite Moreau thing kind of threw me off too. But this is like before like Wet Hot American Summer and stuff. So maybe right before.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I got to thinking that, but I guess there weren't anybody.
Well, like when we cut to the carnival and they go into the carnival.
Because they realize that Joe's thinks it's the flashlight.
Right.
It's sure. Okay. I'll go along.
That was a big stretch.
Yeah.
But just kind of like kind of coming in the carnival and being like going, all right, this looks like there's definitely some stuff to destroy here. That's what I was like, there's like this kind of like they have a whole big establishing shot of the carnival where you're like going, all right,
okay, you can break that.
Looks like we got some stuff to break in here.
When he goes by the shooting gallery, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a commentary on, you know, Joe doesn't like weapons, we know that. But it was mostly the joke that the people in the shooting gallery had headsets on or like noise muffler things,
the
and so they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear that stuff going on.
It was, I was like, okay, this is like whatever, even if it's BB guns, but it's live ammunition in the shooting gallery.
I guess.
And the guy's just standing there. The guy's just standing there on the side and letting people shooting guns. And he's like on the other side of the counter, just on the side of all those targets.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, definitely. Because like they show the gorilla with the target on it and it's like, oh. Is he going to get upset? And keep waiting for that.
I am so low on notes.
Okay, and so then we end with the big fire rescue. It's the equivalent of the orphanage, only he saves one kid.
Right.
And he climbs a Ferris wheel to do it.
And it's not a baby like the last movie. The weird, like, the stop-motion crawling baby.
Right.
And this kid...
So, yeah, go ahead.
This kid got left on the Ferris wheel, even though the carnival dude said that it was all clear.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he missed this kid.
I don't know. He let people off, skipped the kids, and then let some more people off.
Right.
But anyways, we have to set that up so he can climb there and save them. And
yeah.
And the whole thing comes tumbling down. Now, he basically puts his hand out and the kid climbs into it.
Right.
So.
Giant puppet hand.
Do you think you would climb into a giant gorilla's hand?
Given the situation, sure.
What other option do you have?
Yeah.
You look at his face. And be like, eh.
I mean, the Ferris wheel's on fire.
Yeah.
And if I see a giant ape see me and then jump up there, I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd do it. Why not?
Yeah.
I'd be afraid of getting crushed. One thing
I was wondering, because I did kind of for a second wonder if the kid was the same kid in the car or not.
Huh.
Because you remember there's also the kid in the car.
Right.
Who is, he like waves at Joe, and his big fingers stick out that little hole when he kind of waves back. Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
But Joe sacrifices himself. He, as the Ferris wheel is falling, he jumps off and lands on his back.
Yeah.
Protecting the kid. And that's when Joe is dead.
Presumed dead. Yeah, right.
But he's not.
And everyone's just bad about him.
Yeah, I was like, Steve is like, is he going to die? I said, no, he's not going to die. It's like a Disney movie. Like, and then he like was kind of laying there for a while. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, when's the hand going to move? Because we know that's going to be what's going to happen.
Yeah, I had forgotten. Like, I had forgotten whether he lived or died.
Right.
In this version of the movie. And because I had already kind of was flipping through trivia and stuff, and they talked about the three different full size, and one of them was listed as dead position. I was like, oh, he dies. Spoiler alert. Oh, he dies. Okay. So I was accepting him dying, and then they bring him back to life.
Right. And then they do crowdsourcing. They do crowdsourcing for Joe.
Yeah. Just that group right there in the carnival. And they managed to collect enough money to buy a game, a reserve that Joe can live the rest of his days.
But didn't the newsman show up to, so it was on the news maybe?
Okay.
I think that's what happened. Maybe that started like a grassroots campaign because that news guy was there.
It's good because it started at $11.
And
you're like going, oh, I guess they got enough money.
Kids cotton candy change.
Yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
And I like Charlize Theron. It was fine.
Yeah, there wasn't nuanced dialogue in it.
I kind of appreciate that it wasn't just a straight up remake.
Yes.
But then part of me wants to see this Joe holding up the piano.
There was no, they didn't throw lions at a table.
Well, I noticed that there were some tigers and lion stuffed animals at the carnival. It would have been a nice kind of homage when he was breaking through the things, if he grabbed like a couple of lion stuffed animals and tossed them out of the way.
It's pretty good when he opens up the cage that they had caught that cheetah or leopard in it.
Oh yeah, he ripped up the top
and stuff. Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, just the small things. And I was hoping that Naveen Andrews would show back up.
Like he's changed his ways.
Yeah, because he kind of didn't show up in the last act. It was the main bad guy, and then the other dude.
After he tips him off just on the phone, that's kind of the end of his bit. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm glad I watched it. It's a movie I'd never seen before, and it's like, I don't know, like 21 years old.
Yeah, it's so, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question for you is...
Okay.
All right, if you have your choice, it's three full-size Joes. There is him on all fours.
Okay.
Him sitting, or him laying on his back in dead position.
Sitting.
Now, they can all be converted into beds.
Okay. Because I was just thinking...
Basically, because like there's... sitting to lay in his lap.
Yeah. You as soon as you started asking the questions, you said there's three Joes. It was, which one do you want? And I was like, well, the dead one's kind of morbid, but it would be nice to cuddle up to.
But it makes the dead one does make a nice bed because it's already kind of bed shaped.
Yeah. But his, sitting. Are his legs crossed? Like crisscross?
Yeah, I think it's kind of crossed.
You could sit in that, right?
What does that mean?
You don't know.
Legs be crossed.
You don't know what crisscross applesauce is?
No.
It's a replacement for the other way we used to call it, sitting that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's more of a kid's thing. I don't think adults really say crisscross applesauce.
I say, because that actually happened. It actually came up at one point. Oh, when I was doing the Lost concert that we did in Dublin.
Oh, that's available on LP. Did you get the LP?
No, I think they're sending me some. Okay. And
Are you on it?
I don't know.
Are your readings on
it? I think I'm probably on it somewhere. But anyways, I'm reading the scene description, and they had the old way written there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, I'm gonna change this to cross-legged. And then they're like, oh yeah, oh good, thanks. Yeah, good catch.
It's funny. I mean, it's not, I don't know. It's, yeah. We're making it out to like it's way more offensive sounding than it is, but.
No, but it's just like, it's just now
yeah,
this is how
it just,
is.
Yeah, I get it.
And so, yeah, it's we're better for it. You know, it's just better to just have gotten there. So, anyways.
So that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could like kind of like make, like, I was like, you kind of like it's almost like a hammock shape in his lap.
Yeah, because it would be like a beanbag chair lap.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, but climbing up on him on all fours, where you can kind of like
lay on his back, like facing up, looking at the stars.
Yeah, yeah, or you can maybe, depending on how wide he is, like almost like sit on him like a horse. And as if you were riding a giant gorilla, and I might have to go with that.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with sitting. Okay. So the dead position's, you know, up for grabs.
We've exchanged pictures of those King Kong hand chairs, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There needs to be like a really good one though. Like taken from original molds.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That you mount on the wall. You got to like climb up on it.
Yeah, but you can still lay in it.
Yeah, it's big enough to lay in, but you got to like, you need like a little stool to step up on it. Because you want to keep it above ground.
It's, yeah.
It's like a shower seat. It's like going under the waterfall. Oh, we got to get to that. We got to get to that one.
Which one?
We got to get to that 70s Kong soon.
Oh, yeah, we do. I've seen that one before, and the only thing I remember is that Jessica Lange is stunning. That's all I remember.
I don't like the noises you made in between saying
stunning. Sorry, I was like popping my knuckles and stuff. I'll cut that part out, the noise. I'm ready to talk about next episode. Oh, we didn't mention top five, but
let's do it.
Okay.
There's no chance.
Okay, next episode. It's our anniversary episode, and we're going to do it. We're finally going to do it. We're going to talk about Godzilla 1998.
Yeah, yeah. This movie was 98. Maya Jo Young was December 98. Godzilla was like May of 98 or something like that. So. These both came out the same year.
Ooh, I have something to say about that for sure.
Okay.
So be sure to listen to that episode. Oh, yeah.
You're going
to
save it?
Yeah, I'm going to save it. There's something I've been wanting to tell you since I watched Godzilla. And
okay.
And I'll bring it up on the next show. Okay. Until then, go to kaijupod.com. You could check out our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. People love the YouTube. I'm still trying to figure it out. So I guess leave your comments below. I guess in YouTube, if you're listening on YouTube. But yeah, until next time, I'm going to go chat with Ray Harryhausen and Terry Moore.
I'm going to go play hide and seek.
With David Paymer or with Joe?
In the woods.
Okay. I'll lure you out with my flashlight. A gigantic flashlight.
Oh, did I tell you about the first Golden Globes I went to and I met Charlize Theron there?
Oh, no. No.
It was like the first year Lost was on, and whoever they had invited to the Golden Globes, it kind of ended up, I know I wasn't the first person that was suggested to go, but it ended up going to me at some point. And this was like, and J.J. Abrams and his wife were so great. First of all, J.J.'s like, listen, I only want this to be great for Ori, so I'm going to buy him his tuxedo. Because I didn't have a tuxedo or anything like that. And I was like, shoot, I need to, as soon as I found out I was going. So he had there was like a guy, he came, he measured me, he made me a tuxedo, came back, put it on, fit me, went back, did some alterations, came in, and so then I had a tuxedo. So a tuxedo was made in like 2 days or one day or something for me to go to the Golden Globes. And then we're at the Golden Globes, and our table was kind of catty corner, like at diagonally away from a table that had the people from, there was that Peter Sellers. It was, that movie that was about Peter Sellers that, what was it called? But Charlize Theron was in it. And by the way, some people say Theron. I don't know what. But anyways, JJ's wife turns to me during the Golden Globes at one point, and she says, the great thing about the Golden Globes is you can talk to anybody. So who are you going to talk to? And I was like, I don't know, but I mean, basically it's like, I don't know, but I've been staring at Charlize Theron's back like almost the whole night. So she's like, you should go introduce yourself. And she was the nicest person ever. And it was great because if Katie hadn't prodded me to go and do that, I wouldn't have had the confidence to then after that, I went up like I shook Scorsese's hand when I walked past him. I was like going awesome. I can say hi to everybody now.
Yeah.
And so that was really, really cool, and I'm grateful for it.
It's cool. Lucky. Yeah, I like her a whole bunch. Did she walk with purpose?
She was sitting. She was still sitting at the table when I went over and I said hi. And she was great. She asked, like, I was like, hi. And I'm here with a show called Lost. She asked me about Lost and blah, blah, blah. It was like really, really cool.